What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another exciting episode of Sneaky Geek.
Sneaky Geek!
Yay! We're doing Sneaky Geek things. Okay, so today we are asking the very important question, should you watch Echo? Brian?
Yeah, why not?
Thank you very much, everybody. It was lovely having you here today. Yeah. Brian, what are you reading these days?
Nothing.
I'm just kidding. Today we're actually talking about Echo, and we are very excited about Echo.
Yeah.
Echo was really good.
It was really good.
There's a lot to be said about Echo, but I'm going to let Brian go first.
Yeah.
Because Brian did research this afternoon while I was telling kids what to do.
Yeah. Stupid kids. So, yeah. So we had a full 5-episode drop of Echo this week.
All at once.
All at once, which is Marvel Studios, TV show-wise, first drop of everything. They did it Netflix, and for a while they were separate, and now with this new kind of rebrand, I guess? I don't know. Anyways, they dropped everything at once, and they also basically said that all the Netflix shows are now canon, or what they're calling now is the Sacred Timeline, per Loki and Loki Season 2 and all that good stuff, which was fantastic. But yeah, so we got Echo this week, which is technically a spinoff of Hawkeye, which is technically a spinoff of Avengers.
Which is also technically a spinoff of Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point with all the Marvel stuff,
everything's interconnected
It's not necessarily a spinoff. Everything's just interconnected.
Yeah.
Really awesome.
So it's curious that they're doing Marvel Studios Spotlight as mm-hmm. its own new thing, because they already had a new thing, which was the Marvel Studios special presentation.
Right.
Which both of those are for made for TV movies, I guess, because neither of those are long.
They're both kind of holiday specials. I mean, yeah, the Guardians special. And you had the Halloween special, which was Werewolf by Night.
Basically.
Which was great.
Which is also interesting because we just learned that Werewolf by Night's first appearance was in Marvel Spotlight number 2.
Oh, right.
The book.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
It's curious that they didn't do it then, but mm-hmm. now they're doing this other thing. And obviously they're trying to distance it. And from the looks of it, it looks like the Spotlight stuff is going to be more grounded storytelling.
Could be. Yeah. And they're they're bringing back in all the Defenders stuff from the Netflix era. And then even on the Disney Plus, front page or whatever, it echoes under the Defender saga.
Cool. And for me, I think that's one of the reasons people should be excited about this, is this isn't more Marvel. This isn't more MCU. This is more Netflix Marvel.
Yeah. And it really felt like a decent mix of both. Obviously, because of Disney, they're probably not going to go super, super violent, but it was still pretty violent.
It was TVMA.
Yeah. It was their first TVMA.
Guy got shot in the head.
Yeah, he did.
And Daredevil and Punisher are exceedingly violent.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first official MCU, not Netflix, television show they've done that isn't kind of an offshoot,
Yeah.
This is a podcast and there's flaily hands. That's not a good enough description. This is a podcast.
I don't even know what you're surfing.
I'm doing a little bit of a wave thing. There's a little bit of a luau action here.
What's going on?
I don't know. I just, listen, I wanted them to be involved, okay? We don't do video, and it's like an audio play, but I can't make sound effect. Where's the wobble board? Who's the guy with the wobble board? Anyway, so it's their first TVMA that they're doing and going, yes, this is a Disney property, instead of Netflix, where they're it's a Disney property, but don't worry about that.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. We're not really connected to the Marvel Universe. There's just Avengers footage happening on that guy's TV in the security box.
And they keep talking about the big green guy.
Yeah. So I felt... and the thing is we've connected to that already with She-Hulk and with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
But the She-Hulk...
Spider-Man, too.
Oh, yeah, because Charlie Cox showed up in Spider-Man. Yeah. Boy, he is just all over the place, that guy.
Good for him.
He must be so excited. He loves playing Daredevil.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, TV mature, connected, under Marvel Studios Spotlight. Not Marvel Spotlight, but Marvel Studios Spotlight. New fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. I can't tell you what that fanfare sounds like, but
there was
new
fanfare.
There was new music.
Oh, cool. I didn't notice.
Exactly.
Both times I watched.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian, tell us.
Yeah.
What happened?
So, through my old contacts at Marvel, where I used to work, I got to go to the, not a premiere, but they called it a launch event. I don't know why, but hey, whatever. I was invited. It was cool. But they had some of the costumes out on the red carpet that we got to kind of walk down. There's obviously two separate sides, but we got to walk down. It was cool. Take a bunch of cool pictures. Some of the cast was there. I don't know about some of the crew. I wasn't familiar enough with them, but they had a lot of people from the deaf community and a lot of people from the Native American community around Los Angeles. Cause the show itself is very grounded with the Native American heritage of Echo, but also she's deaf in the show and she's also deaf in real life. And so
And her character is deaf in the comics as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Which was important when they casted her, from what all the interviews are saying and stuff. So, you know, it was a cool event. They showed us the first 3 episodes out of 5. We were expecting 2, and we got an extra 1, so that was really cool.
You said Feige was there too?
I didn't see him, but I didn't see a lot of people because it's a big theater. But also, with all the interviews that we saw afterwards, a lot of the cast was there. Feige was there. I'm sure a couple of the producers.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it was like a premiere.
It was basically a premiere. I don't know why they did not call it that. But hey, whatever. Still had a great time.
Well, they also premiered it elsewhere, didn't they? Didn't they show this to the Choctaw Nation first?
Yeah, I don't know about first, but they had a screening event for them as well.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, I believe. And there's a cool little mini documentary on YouTube that Marvel put out about it. And
it's very neat.
Yeah, they worked heavily with them on the script because there's a lot of Choctaw Nation language, as well as...
Yes, there's a whole bunch of language.
I said ACL. No, there wasn't knee people there. ASL.
There's just so many. The Kines community really came out for the ACL.
No, not the Kines community, just the knee community.
Just the knee community. Yeah. You got knees, you're in.
Yeah.
The ASL community.
Yes, yeah. They were there as well, because the character is deaf, and the actress is deaf as well. So.
Yes.
Which is all based off the comics, who the Echo is deaf as well in there.
Yes.
In fact, this whole thing was very faithful to the comics from her backstory. And for the most part, in the comics, Daredevil and Echo have like a little romance going on.
Right.
They didn't quite go there. I don't think they ever go there.
Not quite beknownst to both of them either for a while. Right. Doesn't she date,
she dates Matt Murdock.
Murdock. Yeah. Yeah.
And eventually they fight, and then Daredevil, because Echo doesn't really have a mask.
Right.
But he's like, oh, crap. So then he reveals himself, and it was a whole thing. I didn't actually read those issues.
Yeah, the gist of it is she's like, I love you, Matt. You're great. And he's like, I love you too, Matt. But, like, you know, this is cool. I got to go fight and be Daredevil. And then she's like, hey, wait a minute. You killed my dad. And he's like, I'm your age.
Yeah.
He died when you were a kid. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
She's like, that makes logical sense. I gotta go kill Kingpin.
Yeah.
And then she shoots Kingpin in the face.
Yeah. With both eyes.
And he goes completely blind. And that's how Kingpin went permanently. Wait! The only permanently blind characters in that comic are Stick and Daredevil. Kingpin heals because comics.
Comics. Yeah.
This is a podcast. I'm giving a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was a really quick brief of the intro of Echo for Daredevil Comics.
Yes.
How it leads into and how it's a part of the TV series, which they did really well.
I gotta say, that first episode basically being an extended here's what you missed on Glee.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was such a smart choice on their part because Hawkeye was a little underwatched because you were talking about something that we are introducing to an entire community of people who may not necessarily know a whole lot about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And because they really just needed to flush out some of that stuff. So they're using the alternate takes, taking extended versions of some of the shots that they used from Hawkeye. Mm-hmm.
And then blending
in actual shots from Hawkeye.
Yeah, and then film new scenes for Echo to splice in between. It was really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the show takes place 5 months after Hawkeye. Which kind of gives you a nice little timeline of things going on or things not going on. And
yeah. Hawkeye's takes place during Christmas. It's a Christmas show with Christmas music. It's definitely worth watching. It's great.
Yeah. And it holds up.
It really does. We watched it last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But that means this takes place in early spring.
Mm-hmm.
And
some people might call that May.
Some may call it that.
Hey-o.
Anyway. That's all I, that's the only joke you're getting out of me. I don't have enough energy for any more puns, so I officially retire from podcasting.
Okay. Thank God, this is boring.
Oh, wait, no, you still have to carry it on, bro. Okay, let's go. What do you want to talk about next?
I don't.
Episode by episode?
No.
Let's go episode by episode, because Brian doesn't want to. So each episode focuses on a different person in Echo's ancestry.
Yep.
And the first episode is Chaffa, which is a Choctaw woman who emerges from the earth with her other clay earth people and becomes human and then leaves the mound where she was originally made, which is actually a real Native American, real Choctaw myth.
Yeah.
Which is so freaking cool.
Yeah.
So it's based on the actual myth, and I'm going to not say this entirely correctly because I am not familiar with Choctaw phonetics, but it is Nanehwaya. And that is the mother mound. The Choctaw people origin myth claims that there is like a mound of clay and earth that these people were made from. The mound collapsed, they left. And Chaffa was this woman who led them out. Mm-hmm. And this is where the power set of Echo kind of changes, because she's like basically deaf Taskmaster in the comics.
Yeah. Yeah.
But unlike Taskmaster, who can kind of do literally anything he sees, she is still limited with her own body.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting, like,
take on it.
Take on it. And also limitation that I really like in the comics. Like, just because she sees Floyd Mayweather's boxing style and incorporates it into, like, there's panels,
which is the thing in the comics.
Yeah, yeah. Where she's boxing and she's like, and then I'm going to do a little bit of, you know, Mayweather this and a little bit of Sugar Ray that. Good.
But if she goes against the Hulk, like, those punches ain't going to do much.
Exactly.
And that's kind of where that comes in.
Yeah. So we start diverging away from that power set. And I'm going to talk more about that a little bit later, because I have opinions and thoughts and I like to express them.
Yeah.
But as she comes home to Oklahoma to to the res.
Yeah. Which she hasn't been back in 20 years since she left.
Right.
Since her dad took her away.
We get introduced to Marvel's newest best character, Biscuits.
Biscuits.
We love Biscuits. In this house, we stan one Biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a Biscuits fan, get on board. And that's, yeah. Anyway, so that's the first episode. Yeah. Then the next episode, what's the next episode called?
Loak.
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 Loak. Loak. And Loak plays stickball.
Yes.
And stickball is like an actual Choctaw game. Mm-hmm. And they show this super great sports episode.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's
a really like compelling sports
episode. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, like it's very similar to lacrosse. But it's been played by a whole bunch of different Native American tribes all around, which is really cool. But it was really cool seeing that aspect of things, and like they really dug deep with the ancestral stuff.
Yeah. And the each one of these ancestors who has one of these skills, those skills are becoming like available to Echo.
Yeah.
Which is super neat. So the next episode, you know, there's this athleticism and this fury and this determination that comes from Loak. And then the next episode after that is the Light Horseman.
Yes. Tuklo.
Tuklo. And Tuklo is a light horseman, and they do this whole black and white thing, and I had some issues with the cinematography of the black and white thing, which is, for the record, the only time in this entire show that I had an issue with cinematography.
Yeah.
And it's a technical preference of mine that I feel like if you're going to film something as it's old-timey, then you can't use modern techniques, and you should really not use modern glass. You should be using some vintage glass, and if you can, actual film cameras. Mm-hmm. And you're Marvel. You have the budget. Throw in some extra actual film cameras. Or at least, you know, blur the image a little bit. Like, you can't... Who's doing rack focuses? Like, come on. What is this PTA BS?
On a huge boom arm?
Yeah, like, friggin'... We're getting these friggin' mock Fincher shots for something that's supposed to be matched up against, like, 1940s John Wayne flicks.
Yeah.
But
anyways, but like that's
actually
that's
not even 1940s, because it's supposed to be a silent film, so it should be even shittier than that.
Yeah, yeah,
but the scene that takes place in is so good.
Yeah.
And that point when the dad turns around, we're getting a little spoilery here by now, but the point where the dad turns around and realizes that Tuklo is the one taking out the bandits.
Yeah.
And he just starts hooting and hollering.
Yeah.
Like,
hell yeah.
That's such a Native American thing. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I absolutely love that. So we go through, and again, that skill becomes available. Go figure. You know,
yeah. As she's finding herself, she's also finding her heritage and her ancestors, and these powers unlock. And that's really, it's an awesome way to go about doing that.
And I like that in each of these episodes, not only is she finding her connection to these ancestors, but in each episode, she's mending something, or at least starting the process of mending something with a particular person who was important to her in her past.
Yeah.
So she's becoming more connected with, I mean, and sometimes it's literally just like the location.
Oh yeah.
But like, she gets a little bit closer to somebody else from her past, and then somebody else, and then somebody else, and all that.
She's interacting with both her ancestors and her like extended family. Current. Yeah.
And then the third episode, or the fourth episode.
Taloa.
Who was Taloa?
I think that was her mom.
Taloa was her mother, and that's when we get the big, like, kind of
reveal
about that, because that's when she starts making the connections back to her actual grandmother.
Yes, yeah.
And then...
Because all these are done in weird visions.
Right.
And that she's kind of keeping on the down low, and she's finally like, okay, here's what's going on.
Yeah. And then somewhere between the fourth and fifth episodes, we watch these all at once, because it's like a 3.5-hour movie and you should just watch it all together.
Yeah, it's easy.
But somewhere in there, they started playing that Down to the River, I Went Down to the River to Pray song from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I had to really hold it together, because it was a really beautiful moment of like a lot of the town mending and healing from this thing that kind of hurt all of them in a lot of way, and other things that hurt all of them, and they all start kind of mending, and then that leads to the powwow in episode 5, which is Maya, who is, you know, the last in this line so far. Yeah. Anyway, so that's episode by episode without getting too in the weeds.
Yeah, yeah.
But I loved so much about this.
Mm-hmm.
The sound design was also really dope.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Especially because, you know, she's a deaf character, and sometimes they would go to her point of view and everything would be silent.
You get this kind of low,
or sort of muffled
sound that was like not kind of muffled. Like, it was basically just the sort of white noise frequency that went through there. And it was really, really neat to see that perspective.
Definitely. But yeah, so we had that had a lot of Native American stuff. And, you know, as close to a quarter Native American, like my grandma's full. Like, it's cool seeing that stuff being actually played up in media these days. I mean, especially with, like, shows like Res Dogs.
That's pretty cool. Oh, my gosh.
And hell, even, you know, parts of Letterkenny.
Yeah. Well, and because there's a lot of stuff with the Res on Letterkenny.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And Res Dogs, too. Like, when they brought up the Light Horseman, like, I got so excited because the Light Horseman's my favorite character in Res Dogs.
Yeah.
And, like, he's very proud of it. And it's also the guy who plays her dad. Yeah. But yeah, the Light Horseman and the games and the language stuff. You know, I'm a sucker for good language stuff.
Oh,
and like, as a linguist, something that comes up for us a lot is fighting language death. And so there's been so much work on the part of these tribes to regain their languages, which have been unfortunately like squashed down and kind of suppressed by colonizers.
Yep.
And it's been going on until like recent decades. I mean, it's still happening in a lot of ways, but not to the extent that it was happening, you know, a century ago by all means, but like now they're really struggling to get their language back. And so you have a lot of linguists who go into linguistics in order to help revive dying languages.
That's really cool. Yeah.
And you have a lot of linguists who just kind of find themselves in these communities. So like a good friend of mine, he wrote the orthography for a whole like tribe. Like I want to say he was a big factor in some of the revival for Venturing Your Chumash.
Oh, okay.
And that guy was my mentor. Like this sort of things, it comes up a lot. It's very important. Definitely.
And well, so especially here in Southern California.
Yeah. Especially in an area that has just been that was a massive, massive like territory of varying tribes that all were suffering under conquistadors, etc. So it's really been, it's just really cool. And I know that people like my friend Nick, my friend Horse, like, are obviously going to see, you know, this as a really nice representation.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because of how hard they went for it, which I mean, like that woman said at the Golden Globes the other day, like, you're talking about a people whose language was represented by just running the English backwards.
Yeah.
In old films. Old Hollywood.
Yeah. You know?
But the sound design of going through and, like, really making sure you get, like, the deaf experience, I felt like was also coupled when you get to things like some of the traditional Native American songs they were playing.
Yeah.
When they're, like, letting it, like, I mean, it is a crisp audio.
It is so.
And the powwow well is great. It,
yeah.
And any of the other, like, language stuff you're getting was actual Choctaw. Like, there's so many language specialists.
Yeah. Hell, and they even did an entire dub of this whole show in Choctaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so freaking cool.
That's also included on the, on one of the YouTube documentaries they did.
Yeah. Super, super cool.
Yeah. Check the, all those out. Any kind of behind the scenes stuff for the show, like, it's been such a good watch and, like, and just entertaining, but also informational and educational.
Yeah, I was really excited for you to go to the launch event because I was really hoping that they would do a little bit more celebrating of that Native American heritage.
They did not have the room nor the capacity.
No, they did not.
But smaller theater, but it was still a really good event. It's actually really cool. So a lot of the cast members and the crew took ASL lessons to communicate with Alakwa and also just anybody else who was on set, you know, that was deaf. And so it was really cool seeing that they all kept it up. Everybody at, or a lot of the cast, they all were talking with people signing.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a lot of interviews, but just even afterwards when, you know, the press was gone and people were just kind of hanging out and slowly leaving the theater, like, there was a lot of people signing, a lot of the cast that were there just signing, talking to people.
Yeah. And I know, like, my brother has his, one of his degrees is in ASL.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that community that learns ASL, they kind of can't turn it off.
Yeah.
So they kind of just half sign all the time anyway, especially if they're doing it regularly. And when you're on a set like that and you're signing all the time, like, it's, you're going to pick that up so fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I also read that there was basically a deaf person in just about every department in the entire filming process.
That's so
I read
cool.
that the other day.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what the source was. I read it, but it was in an interview.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, there was somebody from the deaf community in most of this. And it's also really cool because I remember the day we watched it, I said, I wasn't thrilled about some of the ASL stuff because I saw some people who were signing in C-Sign. And C-Sign, for those of you who don't know, is a form of sign language that is that uses all the words that English does and does so in English syntax. And it was developed as a method to combat a problem that ASL students were having with reading. Because if you were born deaf and you learned ASL, you don't know English syntax.
No.
You know ASL syntax. So this is a podcast and I'm signing to say it. But, like, the biggest example is if you are in a, if you are going to say we go to town, you know, or we went to town, you know, you say, you know, we went or we go to town, you know, or we go past to town. And in ASL, you would go town, we go past. And that's a completely different syntax.
Yeah.
And I noticed that certain people were signing that way. And so I looked it up that night. And it turns out that the reason that certain people were signing that way is because they were representing multiple forms of C-Sign and ASL and multiple forms, specifically multiple forms of ASL and multiple levels of difficulty.
Oh.
So the ones who were signing way more with the English syntax were the ones that were speaking while they were signing.
Oh.
The ones that were signing kind of quietly, those were the ones where I wasn't hearing what they were saying. It was the ones where I was watching their subtitles. So I wasn't tracking it. I didn't catch that, like, when I went back and I looked and I'm like, no, Maya's totally signing ASL. Like, I don't know. like, I knew that she was doing it accurately, but like everybody else who yeah. signs with her kind of silently. And I want to say, what is her name? Bella?
Her cousin?
Her cousin?
Mm-hmm.
Bella signs really, really well huh. in the show because she's the one who's doing a lot of the translation.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'll notice there's not all the words that you're seeing there are correlating with a sign because
yes.
you're streamlining it. Sign language right. can move pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was really, really cool to find that like my concern was not only like not a problem, but actually even better than I had hoped,
oh, right
which
on.
Is
yeah.
that they represented multiple levels. But yeah. I love that. And I said this during the show, I love that everyone who knows her,
mm-hmm.
specifically her relatives,
oh yeah,
they all sign.
Knew. Yeah. Well, her mother in the show too was deaf. So it was kind of set up early on with her family.
Yeah.
Immediate family until, you know, she had kids, but yeah.
Yeah. So her mom, her grandma, of course, knows sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's cool that her grandpa, I guess, mm-hmm. doesn't sign so well. But he like still tries
yeah.
really hard.
Yeah.
So he's, I don't know. I love that actor.
He's so
great.
Good. Yeah. Pretty much everybody was great.
Oh my gosh. No, there wasn't a bad actor in the bunch.
Yeah.
There's never a point where I'm like, mm-hmm. that's a little rough. Like even not that he gets a whole lot of lines, but even the dude that Biscuits like gets help with on his car.
Yeah.
Does well.
In the shop. Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's never a point where I was like, you know, about delivery or anything. I did not cringe.
There's
I
nothing
loved
cringy,
this.
Yeah. The fight scenes were amazing.
Dude.
Yeah. And the way they were shot and the camera movements, like, we haven't seen anything like that. And so it was nice and refreshing because, you know, you see a Marvel movie, an action movie, you know, a lot of them are shot the same. A lot of them are choreographed very similarly. And this
Dude,
was
some of those
this
fight
was
shots.
Great.
I like the jump cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Where you would, like, have a kick and then, like, it would cut really harshly.
Yeah.
But obviously into like more punching and stuff.
Right.
But like without it being a straight continuous like thing. They
yeah,
like
the camera positions the same position. Yeah. And I, we have a friend that was actually a lock was stunt double, Caitlin Deschelle.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see if we can get her on the podcast, but she was, I was chatting with her a little bit online just to be like, holy crap. I didn't realize you worked on that show, but like, it was great at Doctor afterwards, but, she did a great job too. And there's a lot of scenes where you can't tell who was the stunt double and who was the main actor because
yeah.
the cuts were really well done. The choreography was well done. And the camera angles that they were doing and just the way it was moving.
We love
was,
our stunt people.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
We really
Always
do. We love our stunt people.
Shout out to Latif and the crew of Mando season 3 for winning that Emmy for stunts.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So good. So good.
No, the action scenes were great in this, and it really, it was fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was solid. And I know that it was rumored to be 6 episodes.
Yeah, originally, I think they shot 6 and they cut it down to 5.
And cut it down to 5. But I feel like the pacing of everything was really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know we've recorded before where we've been like, I really liked that. And then like a week later, we're like, well, we're like 3 days out right now. And I still am like...
Yeah. Still, like,
yeah, no, that
really
was like that was really good.
Yeah,
like that was solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started it watching in a group watch with Nicole, who was, you know, at her house.
Yeah,
and then we watched the rest, and she was like, "Hey, how far did you guys get in Echo?" And I went,
"We kept going,"
and she went, "You watched the whole thing, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah, we watched the entire thing." That night,
mm-hmm.
we didn't stop. And she said, well, we're fighting. And I said, that's fine. I accept that. I said, you really need to watch it, though. I'll watch it with you. I would gladly watch
yeah.
it again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's nice, too, because well, sometimes it's a burden to have to watch something.
No, like yeah. twice. And so, like, when, because I watched it on a Monday, I watched the first 3 episodes on Monday,
right.
and it dropped on Tuesday. Like, I had zero issue watching the first 3 episodes again. I was going to come home and just, like, watch the last 2 and then
yeah I remember
Nicole,
I told you
yeah he's like we're gonna watch Echo if you want to watch it. I was like yeah sure hell yeah let's go
yeah
yeah
yeah. And like it's interesting too because you watched it as one cut for those first 3 episodes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did they show the intro?
Yes, so they
Between
always went
episodes?
To the, yeah so they always went to the Marvel Studios intro, but we never got credits until the very end, and they stacked all 3 episodes credits one right after another.
Okay,
at
so
the
cold
end.
Opens might yes. have seemed like they were.
Yeah, and I even leaned over to Jim to be like, "Hey, man, is this part of episode 2 or 3?" He's like, "It's episode 3 now." I'm like, "Okay, cool. I gotta go to the bathroom." But yeah.
Yeah, that that whole thing. I mean, it could have been a movie. I don't know that it would have, because of its kind of chaptered style.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work for a movie in that regard, but there's no reason why this can't just be a 3.5 hour experience.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't think it could have been like a go to the theaters movie.
Yeah.
Because that would require a bit of cutting and making it a little bit more streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're taking those breaks
yeah.
in between episodes, how brief as they are, it is kind of episodic and chaptery in yeah. a way that's really nice. And it's not to say that those don't work. Like, I mean, Quentin Tarantino loves that shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it really, as a whole, worked so well. And I don't know that it would have worked that well as a non-binge this situation. I love episodic television.
Mm-hmm.
And I love wait till next week so that we can all talk about what happened on Game of Thrones.
So much, yeah.
You know? Or the OC or whatever it is we're talking about.
Hell yeah, that first season was amazing.
Yeah. But when you have some shows that like they need to be episodic
yeah.
because of the story, but they also really don't need to be released
yeah.
1 week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those, yeah, like you were telling me that you in the rewatch of Loki, watching it back to back to back was good.
Yeah, yeah.
But watching it one at a time,
yeah,
1 week at a time, it could get a little frustrating.
Yeah, I didn't love Loki season 2 the first time around.
I loved Loki season 2.
But because we watched it
all at once.
Pretty much, yeah.
I binged it.
Yeah.
Netflix style.
Yeah.
Which I also love that this is Netflix style and it's a continuation of
yeah.
Netflix Defenders line.
Yes.
And
which we were big fans of.
I love all of those shows. Including Iron Fist, haters. It's an excellent corporate drama. Okay, it's a decent... It's a corporate drama. Just enjoy it like that.
Yeah.
The second season, though, was so good.
It was a lot better. Hell
and
yeah.
I maintained that mm-hmm. the second half of Luke Cage after Cottonmouth... Spoilers. After Cottonmouth gets killed, the second half is garbage.
Yeah.
It goes from being a reference and an homage to blaxploitation to just being blaxploitation. And it feels really gross.
But not in a good way.
I don't like it. But that second season... with Bushmaster is so good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And so for me.
Still got to finish Punisher and.
Dude, Punisher season 2.
Jessica Jones. Wild. The last
Jessica
two
Jones
seasons.
Season yeah. 2 was a little bit of a mess. But Jessica Jones season 3 is so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for me, like I said earlier, I was excited and I didn't hit me until about midway through the first episode. I'm like, oh, I'm not here because I'm seeing a new MCU thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here because I'm seeing a new Netflix show.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
okay.
it felt like. I
yeah,
was
yeah.
like, oh, cool. It's a new show in basically the Defenders universe.
Yeah.
And for me, I just want more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last several things Marvel has put out, I haven't been the hugest fan of. I haven't yeah. loved them wholly and completely.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved the Marvels.
Yeah.
But I also really love... you know, something. I really love the Silent Hill movie. And the Silent Hill movie is hot trash.
Yeah, yeah.
It is terrible. But I love it.
Yeah.
And I had so much fun watching the Marvels.
Oh, it was great fun. Yeah. Yeah.
But the movie's a
that's all right.
bit of a mess.
Yeah.
You know, this was not that. This was not, I had fun, but, you know, it would have been nice if they could have fleshed that story out. The pacing was good.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us time to breathe. Yeah. That I went down to the river to pray, like, montage
oh,
was
God.
So long.
I mean, pretty much any of the songs
I
they put out was
every minute
great.
Of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. the music as well.
Yeah.
But, like, that montage itself
mm-hmm.
was a calm, cool, relaxed moment where you were allowed to process all of the things that were happening.
Yeah.
You were allowed to examine generational trauma. Think about mm-hmm. it for a moment.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And we weren't given that in
right.
the Marvel. We haven't been given that for several movies in the
yep.
MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really been given that necessarily for a lot of shows either.
Yeah.
Loki aside.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice.
It really was. Yeah.
You know?
That, yeah.
And for me, I really like that. And I think there's a reason that memes about Studio Ghibli taking their sweet ass time
mm-hmm.
to like get through a story and how that's been like, that's why they're so successful. I think there's a reason that people are latching on and telling that part, because people are also right. tired of being exhausted by movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I need to be able to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So with Echo, I don't have any major critiques of it.
No, there's a good amount of like action. There's a good, a lot of, there's a great amount of action, but also a great amount of character development with pretty much everybody in there. I don't know, but it was cut down from 6 episodes. And there's a few times where I'm like, I wish we would have got more time with this one character or this other character. But at the same time, like, it was, they still had a great performance and they served the purpose of the story.
Something that I thought about the day after I watched it was it left me wanting more,
mm-hmm.
and not because I needed more, but because I was craving more.
Yeah.
And the Marvels left me wanting more because I felt like I was missing something.
Fair.
And this, I was like, no, you gave me everything I needed. Mm-hmm. I did not need this to be 6 episodes. And I am the first person who will tell you, make more fucking episodes. You can't tell the story this short.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same reason why I don't like 4 and 5 issue arcs.
Yeah.
Like, you need to
the comics.
Push mm-hmm. this a little wider.
Yeah.
But they kind of do. You know, we have a 50-minute episode and a 40-minute episode. And yeah, like,
and that's what I really like about the streaming model that they're doing. It's like, the episodes are as long as they need to be for to tell this certain story in this certain episode.
Like a chapter in a book.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're not, you know, they don't have any commercial breaks. They don't, well, depends on your tier, but that's a whole different podcast. But it, you know, it doesn't matter. They're not fit in a, you know, 22-minute time frame. And, you know, in a 30-minute slot to make way for those stupid ads or whatever. But, like, you know, same thing with the Star Wars shows. Like, those, I mean, obviously, sometimes I'm like, I just want more because I want more. But it's like, the story's still good and the episode was great.
Yeah.
And the story in the episode was great.
Although there are sometimes during Mandalorian when I'm like, I would have preferred this be a 40-minute episode. I feel like I'm missing 10 minutes of understanding what's going on.
Fair. Season 3.
Wait, should have called us.
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting real spoilery. We were mm-hmm. spoilery before. We're getting real spoilery now. I loved Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
The original Doctor Strange first movie. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure you're all going, where the hell are you going with this? At the end of Doctor Strange,
mm-hmm.
he is presented with a fight against Dormammu.
Yeah.
And that has potential to become a big, explosive Marvel ending.
Oh, yeah.
And instead, you watch this clever asshole. Mm-hmm. Clever asshole is way out of it.
Yeah. Fucking great.
And it's so good.
So refreshing.
It's refreshing. It's new. It's exciting. And it's funny because Doctor Strange is kind of whimsical.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to talk about Multiverse of Madness and my problems with Multiverse of Madness. But the original Doctor Strange.
Whole podcast there.
When we talk about the original Doctor Strange, I will seldom get through that conversation without bringing up Dormammu, I've Come to Bargain.
Yeah.
Because Dormammu, I've Come to Bargain was amazing.
Yeah.
People kept on bringing it up. It became kind of a meme.
Yeah.
It was refreshing. It was new. It was a very Doctor Strange solution. Mm-hmm. It'd be like if at the very end of a Fantastic Four movie, Reed Richards does all the fighting. What? No.
Yeah,
outsmart
no.
them. You're Reed Richards.
Yeah.
What the hell are you
he's
doing?
He's a scientist. Yeah.
Like, that's the
science
thing.
Things.
You know? So at the very end of this,
mm-hmm.
when Maya looks this surrogate father in the eye and says, I'm going to take you back to season 1 of Daredevil and we're going to talk about this real quick and we're going to address your fucking feelings.
Yeah.
And he goes to grab the hammer, which
holy
pulling
shit.
Out that hammer in the first place, I was like, oh, there's a lot of trauma there.
Yeah, but also a solid callback to the Netflix stuff. If you're thinking like, well, maybe there isn't really like any connectivity, like there's the fucking hammer right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and
flashbacks.
if you're still wondering whether or not you should watch it, it's a little late to tell you this, but you should definitely watch Daredevil season 1.
Yeah,
like
I love all those seasons.
I love all 3 of them.
Yeah,
but I need to rewatch season 3 because I'm pretty sure he was at least on track to run for mayor, but maybe I'm confusing things that were happening in the comics
because
so
happens.
I don't actually
we'll get there,
know.
But yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I know that. Between the in and out of prison and his wife, I'm really curious because I don't recall her.
There was a throwaway line where he was like, I'm also mourning people I lost.
Yeah. Did he lose his wife?
Yeah.
Was that in season 3? I don't remember.
I can't remember either. Yeah.
Someone tell me. I know he lost his wife in Into the Spider-Verse. Maybe he lost her in the same way. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't that be cool
yeah.
if the Into the Spider-Verse thing is a canon event
oh.
and it's canon for him too?
Yeah.
the losing of his wife and a potentially kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Stay tuned.
When she goes into his head and we see the cracked wall, which is such a big thing, because it takes 8 episodes for Daredevil to even explain the cracked wall.
Yeah.
Before you finally understand why he's staring at it and why, because he loves that painting, because she's an art dealer when he first meets her, right?
Right.
He's like, this painting speaks to me about saving this city. No, that's not his line, but you know, it's basically the Kingpin in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
She gets there. She's in his mind. We're having a very Dormammu moment. And she's like, you got to let some of this anger go.
Yeah.
Like, I got this. Like, you need to give that hammer to me. Mm-hmm. You can't do this. And he's like crying. And of course, it's Vincent D'Onofrio, who is
fantastic.
Masterclass actor. Uh-huh. Like, oh my God. He's one of my all-time favorites as far as, like, the guy, you put that guy in something and he's going to make it brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the man played a giant cockroach.
Yeah. I was just going to say Men in Black.
Like, that man's performances in Full Metal Jacket gave me nightmares for
two weeks. That's right. Yeah.
And he's a little baby in that.
Yeah.
That's like one of his first roles.
Yeah.
So,
holy shit, I forgot that was him.
Oh my God. He's so good.
Yeah.
Like, I am in awe of the things he can accomplish, especially in something like Daredevil. Like, he is, you know, and I told you, like, when we watched Ahsoka, I was like, you want to watch the Thrawn show?
Yeah.
Because that's how I was thinking about it. And when Echo was coming out, I'm like, I can't wait for Kingpin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because I want more Kingpin.
Yeah.
So when she's in his head, getting back to this, I promise my point will be made.
Yeah.
when she's in his head and she stops him and then she's like, I got this. It's cool. And he sort of lets go of that anger.
Yeah.
That rage that has been kind of a key point of who he is.
For as long as we've seen him in
because
Netflix.
All of his emotions regarding his father, regarding his trauma, regarding his childhood, have all been fueled through one tiny filter. And that is beat the ever-living shit out of somebody.
Yeah.
And that's why he keeps losing his temper, crushing people's heads and doors,
you know.
And, you know, various Kingpin things.
Yeah.
Like, Kingpin doesn't have to do violent stuff. Yep. He has people for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's going to stop doing, like, ordering hits.
Right.
Because he knows what needs to get done in order to get things done. Yeah. But I don't think we're necessarily going forward with him having as much of a rage problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we are, it's going to be, like, problematic for him to go there because he's going to understand that now comes with extra things like sadness and upset.
Yeah.
And so when they come back to the real world and Vincent D'Onofrio looks at her horrified, scared,
in tears,
angry, and tears in his eyes going, what did you do?
Yeah.
Like, he knows
that
he's been broken a little bit and not that he's been broken, but that she has revealed his cracks that have been sealed up with anger.
Right.
Like it was shitty wabi-sabi with foil instead of gold. Yeah.
Such a good character moment for both.
So good. And for me, I was like, one, I didn't want Kingpin to die.
Yeah. No,
he's Kingpin.
Give me more.
Yeah. But for her solution for him after a 5-episode arc of healing and returning to her roots and understanding her traumas and how they're not entirely her fault. And she doesn't really resolve things with her grandma either. She's like, you abandoned me and you pulled an old Encanto grandma abuela problem. And and while we're on the subject, abuela from Encanto, what's her fucking deal? Why is she such a shitty mom? Why she sucks so much?
Such a villain.
Such a villain. Mm. That's the real villain. Anyway. No, it's a civil war. Not important. For the villain of the story, for her to beat, to be Kingpin's traumas.
Yeah.
Not Kingpin himself, but this monster that Kingpin allows himself to be.
Yeah.
That she idolizes because he is showing her an outlet that she thinks is healthy when she realizes it isn't.
Not. Yeah.
After she connects with all of her ancestors and goes, no.
Yeah. So it's cool. And so when the first 3 episodes, I think I mentioned to you without any spoilers, I was like, this is not a hero story. Like, and it's not even really a hero redemption arc. I mean, at the end, it does get there, but like playing up to it, like you don't even realize.
No.
Which is such a great story.
No, it's a 1-2 punch for sure. Like they do the old Indiana Jones hat over your face. You're like, look at this angry bad guy. What? Psych punch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you watched a redemption story, you idiot.
Yeah. God damn, it was great. And at first I was like, cool. Like, she's not a hero. She's kind of an anti-hero, I guess. She's just trying to get by, you know.
And I like that she starts off very much like, maybe it's time for a queen.
Yeah.
And by the end, she's like, She pulls an old Jon Snow. I don't want it.
Yeah.
McQueen, I don't want it.
Yeah.
With, you know, better written dialogue.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so with all that, you know, got said and done, and then, you know, again, still spoilery stuff, like we see Kingpin leave in his plane, and then like
he's still so burnt.
He's
upset.
He's like, I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I'm pissed off, but I'm
because
not
because he runs
off.
Away.
Like, yeah.
Because he realizes like he just lost his biggest weapon.
Yeah.
Which is his rage.
Mm-hmm. That she kind of like, again, kind of healed for him.
Yeah.
Helped heal.
So good.
Yeah. But anyways, so we kind of get hints of his next storyline, which I'm so excited about.
Yes.
And they went that way in the comics of, you know, again, spoilers. He runs for mayor and becomes mayor of New York in the comic books.
Yeah.
And it,
the only thing crazier than that is if they elected J. Jonah Jameson.
That was years before.
They also elected J. Yeah. Jonah Jameson.
Which was also awesome storylines too.
Yeah. But if we're leaning toward the Daredevil story we just had with Kingpin as the mayor and
Devil's Reign.
Devil's Reign.
Yeah,
with Kingpin
yeah.
as the mayor and Daredevil going to jail.
Yeah.
Like if that's the direction they're heading.
Oh,
sign
yeah.
me the fuck.
Yeah, yeah. That was
up.
Some good,
Pardon
good
language,
story.
Everybody.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. Chip Zdarsky's run.
Chip Zdarsky,
fucking amazing. One of the
so good.
I've never been a huge Daredevil comic fan.
Oh, really?
But I absolutely picked up and subscribed to those issues when they came out.
Nice.
Yeah, I did miss the issue where Elektra became Daredevil. I think I have the second printing. Anyways, also good stuff, and eventually leads into like the Daredevils, where it's both of them running around New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, but good stuff all around. If you guys want to check some stuff out, that's it.
Quality.
Yeah. 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 But that's.
So I have one other thing I wanted to talk about.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
There's. So for those of you who probably wondering, we haven't really talked that much about it. There's a major power set change.
Yeah.
In Echo.
Mm-hmm.
Echo has an eidetic memory. Like we yep. talked about before, mm-hmm. she's basically
Taskmaster,
a deaf, female Taskmaster.
Yep.
And not to be confused with the other female Taskmaster in that, you know, Black Widow movie.
Right, right.
You know, that's
comic version.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
So this, she doesn't have that. She's not just like seeing things and learning how to do things. She is very good,
mm-hmm.
and she is very good at observing, and she has what seems to be a semi-eidetic memory anyway.
A little bit, yeah.
But her power set is this like connection to her heritage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
which can give her super strength or endurance or, you know,
yeah, and I don't even know that it's fully, well, I guess it is super yeah. strength. Like she has those moments where she gets
yeah,
that like.
Yeah.
But it's still like kind of grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a power set change with Ms. Marvel
mm-hmm.
in Ms. Marvel.
Tell us how you feel about that.
I'm angry about that. And I'm angry about that for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, the story of Ms. Marvel is about a teenage girl who's trying to figure out teenage life. Mm-hmm. And that includes wrestling with some body issues and your changing body mm-hmm. and not knowing who you are, not knowing where you fit in,
yeah.
knowing that you are part of one particular group of people, but not necessarily fully jiving with that group of people at all times, mm-hmm. but loving the people in that community all the same. You know, and when she realizes that she is an Inhuman, because in the comics she is an Inhuman,
mm-hmm.
She has to wrestle with that sort of thing, which is why she has stretchy powers.
Yeah.
And as G. Willow Wilson said, they're not sparkly and cool. Like, it's awkward and weird.
Yeah.
That's her in a nutshell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she, as a character, is awkward and weird.
Yeah.
The actress, Iman Vellani,
mm-hmm.
nails 100% Kamala Khan.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's great.
Yep.
She's not mm-hmm. necessarily, like, who I pictured, per se. You know, not like with like Hagrid or Snape, where I'm like, yeah, no, that's,
well,
who
that's
you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
but still, it was still like, oh, pleasant surprise.
Absolute, yeah. yeah. And I mean, the only person I love in that show more than her is Nakia, because Nakia plays Nakia perfectly.
Yep.
But she has sparkly powers.
Yeah.
And it feels like a complete dismissal of what G. Willow Wilson did. And a lot of people mm-hmm. might argue that like Sana was the creator of the story, yada yada yada. But that is a G. Willow Wilson book.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who wrote the book
for.
Regardless of who wrote the story,
yeah.
the lines,
for
the
years.
Things, the various powers and how they work, and the decisions on art and things like that would go through Willow.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we come to a character like Echo,
yeah.
who is deaf and connected to her community and uncertain where she stands because she has this sort of surrogate father who she can't trust, reconnecting with her own community after that, mm-hmm. and all the things that happened there, changing her power set to basically allow her to do all the Echo shit.
Yeah.
While instead incorporating this ancestral connection that is a very Choctaw thing, a very yeah. family thing, and grounding her to the Choctaw Nation, definitely. Which in the comics she's Cheyenne, but that's, you know, yeah. neither here nor there. The idea that she is connecting with this particular Nation group.
Yeah, and it's very mystic, which we've seen in the MCU already. So, like, still works out great.
Yeah, and it's nice because it's like, it's not just, oh, she's just really good.
Yeah.
Like, and don't get me wrong, I like that she's just really good. That's what Hawkeye
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason everybody thinks Hawkeye's boring. It's because he's just really good.
Yeah.
You know? But I like that her powers are linked to people in her past. I liked that even though this was a divergence, and I'm sure on some level it was just that I'm not as, like, in love invested. With her story
yeah.
in the comics. Like, I love it. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But I felt like these changes were true to who she was at her core.
Yeah.
Because
it was handled very well.
What they gave to Ms. Marvel, what they gave to Kamala Khan, was what Kamala Khan wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And what the comics gave to Kamala Khan is not what she wanted.
No. In fact, they even...
Like, she kind of got it because yeah. she got to literally become Captain Marvel
yeah.
by, like, turning into her and morphing into her.
Right.
But the more she healed, the less she was able to transform because she mm-hmm. kept reinforcing in her inhuman DNA what yeah. she was supposed to return to.
Right.
And so it became harder and harder for her to do that transformation. So that power set went away within, like, 6 issues.
Yeah.
But with Echo, these powers are also not what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be connected to that side of no. her life. She yeah. wants to be removed from it. She yeah. only goes back there because she knows that she can manipulate people. Mm-hmm. And she gets back there and realizes that, like, she needs those people.
Yeah.
And she is those people. And healing herself is what gives her this mystic power. There's something about that and there's something about the way that all works that truly, to me, feels like a decision that's like, oh, if this had been the case all along, I would have read this anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Whereas with Ms. Marvel, I don't know that I would have loved it as much if she wasn't so damned awkward.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. I like that because she is awkward
mm-hmm.
and she's wrestling with the body issues that come with teenage years.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
therefore she's having weird stretchy body issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so for Echo to have this connection to the First People, to the First Nation, to her ancestry and all that, I feel like that feels very true to who she
totally.
Is as a character in both universes.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
So, anyway, yeah. that's very, all I have to yeah. say about that. I thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. And no, and it's cool because, like, yeah, the comics are very similar where she's very, like, her heritage is very focused on.
Yeah.
From the beginning, even up until now, she, like, 2 years ago, there was an Avengers storyline where basically she got the Phoenix Force and mm-hmm. she's now the Phoenix. And then there's another miniseries that came out last year where she used the Phoenix Force, but then also, like, used the Phoenix Force to, or I guess it kind of used her. It was a whole thing. Read it. It's fun. It's great. But basically she kind of, like, went back in time and saw her ancestors and, like, what they went through and kind of like reconnected with that. And I think the show early on, I'm sure Marvel's like, hey, we're doing this with the show if you want to work this thing in the comics. And it still worked out great.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, when I first heard that, I was actually really skeptical because, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, the Phoenix Force loves mutants, particularly those with yep. the last name Gray,
mm-hmm.
Or Summers, but Gray adjacent.
Yeah.
And the Phoenix Force typically wants that.
Yeah.
And so the idea of her going and getting the Phoenix Force being not, as far as we know, a mutant yep. and being just sort of a random character, it seems. Mm-hmm. I was very skeptical. So it's yeah. really nice to hear that it's good.
Yeah, the storyline was cool. I didn't hate it by any means. And then it went into another storyline. I was like, what is this? But no, it's been really cool. And then they haven't really done much with her lately. And then in the comics, Jean Grey kind of gets back with the Phoenix Force a little bit, but we're still working through that. Ms. Marvel's yeah. now a mutant. Yeah. That was actually handled weird, but good. But
I liked the way they handled it.
Yeah.
The idea that she's a mutant and an inhuman
mm-hmm.
is the, like, it took until that line for me to go, I officially give this my seal of approval.
Yeah, yeah.
But once it was like, no, you're actually an Inhuman too, which is weird because that's not supposed to happen. Because
yeah, they very much address that in the comics in a very cool way.
Like, so. there's been people died.
Yeah.
Over the idea that mutants and Inhumans like really.
I mean, there was a whole storyline of Inhumans versus mutants.
Yeah.
Versus X-Men. Yeah. Which is okay. But no, and actually, Iman Vellani is actually co-writing the Ms. Marvel books.
Yeah.
And they've been great. And
I haven't gotten to read a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. So she's now in college, and she was interning with Peter Parker for a little bit. And so with the X-Men books, she's kind of half away at college, but is working on the download with the X-Men, trying to figure out what her powers are, because they haven't manifested yet, but her X gene is active and around.
Right.
But it's her Inhuman genes that are kind of keeping those on the down low.
Mm,
but
so
she's writing
them.
Yeah. But like the way she's writing it, it's fucking great.
Yeah. And if her X-Men powers eventually lead to the
Sparklies,
I will accept that. But it, to me, there's a lot of decisions made with like the discs that I don't like. She does the big stretchy thing in the movie.
I'm like,
do more of that. I don't care if it's sparkly if you're going to at least do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to stand taller? Give big sparkly long legs. That's fine. But she keeps on like running along discs and I'm like, yeah, okay, Mega Man.
Yeah.
Cool.
Dark Strange.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks. Yeah.
But
but so, Echo itself.
But Echo.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Everything there was handled great and
Do you have anything further to say?
I don't think so. I'm just excited to where all the storylines go, either with Echo. Daredevil showed up for a quick fight scene in the first episode, handled really well. Like, it wasn't super focused on Daredevil, but it was still pertinent to the grand story of everything and her relationship
Kingpin
with Kingpin.
Like, nobody else, like, not very many people come out of that one.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really cool. Short, sweet, to the point, but also like not overwhelming. He didn't overtake anything. Kind of similar with the way, I mean, not similar with what they did She-Hulk. He was great in She-Hulk too, but like, yeah.
He stole the show in She-Hulk just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the sprinkling of him in the last few things, Spider-Man, She-Hulk, and this, have been great. I'm excited for what they do with his show.
Yeah.
As many problems they've apparently been having behind the scenes, but yeah, hopefully that turns out pretty good.
Have they been having problems behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah. They canned the showrunner and pretty much are reshooting the entire thing.
For what?
Daredevil show.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Born Again. Yeah. Allegedly.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. But then also just Kingpin's storyline with him running for mayor of New York. Like, and that, because there's so many heroes that are based in New York with all these Marvel movies, like, it'd be cool if he just shows up. Hell, it'd be cool if he's one of the main villains in whatever Spider-Man movie's coming out next.
Yeah. It'd be nice, I think, too, if Marvel Spotlight became not just like the, oh, this is the more grounded stuff, although Moon Knight would be really good for that.
Yeah.
And Collider.com actually said something like that, like Moon Knight should have been the first in the Spotlight series. But at that point, I think they were still trying to work out what's going on with Daredevil.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if the Marvel Spotlight like logo or umbrella specifically was over
like the
Defenders and New York City hero, city level stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, not that we need another Spider-Man movie or another Spider-Man show, but like, I would not mind like at all. But right now, you know, Spider-Man's tough because, you know, we have to get so 17 different movies from Sony this year or whatever. It's not four, but you know, because we needed a new origin story for Kraven the Hunter. That's what we all asked for, right? That's what you guys all had on your Christmas lists. Mm-hmm. So, Brian.
We have Spider-Woman coming up.
We do have Spider-Woman.
Wait.
And another Venom.
Yeah.
In October.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Maybe, just maybe, Dave, maybe we'll release that Venom episode one day.
Release the Venom cut?
No. Maybe. I don't know. This is a podcast, and I got a real dumb grin on my face because it brings
shitting grin right now. Yeah.
So that's all I need to say about Echo. Is that all you need to say about Echo?
I think so. I really enjoyed it. And
cinematography, sound design. Everyone is excited for more Netflix Marvel, which we can't call it that. So
yeah, well, you know.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. I'm so excited. Go watch it. Right. If you didn't watch it, I'm sorry that we spoiled everything. But
there's a lot we didn't spoil, though.
There's a lot we didn't spoil. Like, the journey there is great.
Yeah.
I hope that you paused it when I said we're getting into deep spoiler territory to talk about Kingpin. And, you know, hey, good news. You had, like, 10 minutes to get to there because it took me that long to get to my point. But, you know.
As we do.
Brian, what are you reading these days?
Oh, man. I'm making my way through some of the Star Wars books.
You've been reading all those vintage Star Wars books.
Yeah. So, comics-wise, I just got, like, I'm like, I want to reread some of these Star Wars legacy books, which they all happened 130 years after Return of the Jedi. So, it's like Luke Skywalker's great-great-great-great-grandson, and he's a strung-out, druggy former Jedi, and he's fighting, like... Yeah, the Sith show back up, except there's now, instead of the rule of two, they're like, that's a stupid rule. There's going to be like 10 of us, and we're going to create a whole empire, because it worked way below, you know, tens of thousands of years beforehand. So that's been cool, rereading through that. And then
did you not see the mural?
Yeah. And then been making my way through Rise of the Red Blade. I'm looking up at my Star Wars bookshelf, and it's not up there because I don't own the physical copy. I have the audiobook.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the one about the Inquisitor?
The Inquisitor, yeah.
That's
from her time as a Padawan just before the Clone Wars and what she was doing during the Clone Wars. And then once Order 66 happened and how she became, like, how she fell to the dark side. It's been one of the best Star Wars books I've read in years. Yeah. And then just keeping up with the High Republic stuff. And then playing Ghost of Tsushima. And I think I'm almost done with it.
You're very close.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting because I like watching people play video games almost less than you do.
Mm-hmm. I hate it.
And I very much... Like, I definitely backseat occasionally where I'm like, wait, no, there was a hostage.
Release. Which is good because they're hard to see anyways. Because
they're hard to see. They're in the pampas grass.
Yeah.
But, like last night when I saw you were doing the exact same mistake I did, yeah. I was like, go to the mission.
Just go to the mission. Yeah.
Because I wanted you to get the horse.
Yeah. No. That actually didn't happen with me doing the mission. But it opened up a couple other things.
Okay.
And it made me explore the map a lot more, which I'm looking for.
It also, like, it starts dropping things to do on the map.
So it helped. It definitely helped. But I still have no idea what you're talking about with the horse.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But yeah. Maybe that's what I've been kind of up to.
I don't know.
Yeah. How Bryce, what have you been reading or doing or playing or whatever?
So now that I ride my bike to work, I have a lot of time. My commute is very long and very healthy. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. I'm, you know, keeping my carbon footprint down and saving money on car repairs.
Yeah.
But as a result, I've been listening to a ton of books.
Yeah.
And I just finished John Cleese's Short Guide for Creativity, which was great. It takes like an hour to read also. And he even mentions, he's like, I don't know why you listen to this. It takes like an hour to read. I don't know. Maybe some of my listeners can't read. but I just finished that. But I just finished one. I feel like everyone should know. This last, a week ago, I finished Tears of the Kingdom.
Finally.
It took me 4.5 months.
How many hours do you have locked on?
I don't want to say, but I'm pretty sure. I don't actually know for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's over 200.
Oh, I believe it.
I put over 200 into Metal Gear Solid 5 also.
Yeah.
But I was hurt by Metal Gear Solid 5 because it ended at the end of Chapter 2, and I wasn't prepared for that.
Right.
And Tears of the Kingdom, I didn't know if it was going to do that to me. And so I was like, oh, I got to be really careful about this. So I ended up doing a lot of extra things before going and doing what I thought was end game.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't end game. And I was like, hell yeah, nice. Sweet. And so I ended up getting probably the last third of the game kind of all at once.
Oh, okay.
Which made the pacing for it way more enjoyable.
Yeah, sure.
If you haven't played Tears of the Kingdom, I highly recommend not going to the Lost Woods, not going into the storm, and playing just through the story. If you see a temple, go to the temple. Or if you see a shrine, go to a shrine. But just play through the story until somebody actually gets a beat on? I don't know that phrase. Till somebody goes, oh, hey, look, that's actually Zelda. Let's go to her. You know, once that happens and they're like, no, go to Hyrule Castle. Once you get directed to go to Hyrule Castle, then maybe you can take some time and prepare. But until then, don't do the Lost Woods. Don't do the thing. But most importantly, the thing I am reading right now is I am very nearly finished with phase one of the High Republic.
Oh, yeah.
I just finished the audio drama Tempest Runner.
Yes.
With my favorite Tempest Runner. I'm so glad they focused on her because I think she's so freaking cool.
Yeah, Lorna D.
Lorna D, a Twi'lek Nihil is part of this massive group of raiders and marauders that are ruining the ruining what is supposed to be the zenith of the Republic and the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
And she goes on her own little redemption arc.
Yeah.
And it is beautiful and tragic and fantastic.
Yeah.
It
was really cool. And it's an full, audio drama.
Yeah. It's a full cast, but they brought in, Mark Thompson play his characters that he's played as like in the other books. Yeah, so they still matched.
Yeah.
Lorna D didn't match the same, but I got very used to it and I really liked it.
Right.
Because, you know, Twi'lek are French and I don't know why.
Yeah.
but he played, you know, Pineda, who talks like this or whatever. Yeah. Pineda was there. And I don't think Stellan shows up. I didn't love Velko. Mm-hmm. Or Avar Chris very much.
Yeah.
But every prisoner loved. And the actress who played Lorna D, while I didn't necessarily love her at first because she didn't match what Mark Thompson had done.
Yeah. He's our gold standard.
She's so good.
Yeah. She's so really good.
And then, of course, any clips, any brief as they may be, with Marcion Roe or Marcion Roe, depending on what part of the galaxy you're from,
mm-hmm.
with his calm pausing and selective word choices.
Yeah.
that he makes with intention. So good. Yeah. Fucking love him. Yeah, love him so much. Mark Thompson, be on our podcast, please. We love you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Catch you next con.
So the next book in my list, I had to read through a bunch of comics, and now I am on...
You're getting to Mission to Disaster.
Mission to Disaster, which we started in the car the other day, you and I, and we made it to chapter 3.
Yeah.
And so I have that book, mm-hmm. and then I've got a fat stack of comics, and then I think I'm basically on my way to...
It's not that fat. There's like 4 or 5.
That's not the list I saw. I thought it was like 10, 15.
Nope.
Oh, no.
You're close, sir.
Oh, boy. So then I get to go have my heart broken. I know it's going to happen. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Kevin Scott's going to do it.
Yeah.
He's done it enough already.
Yeah.
I will say, and I feel like it needs to be brought up, and I'll bring this up again if we ever do an episode about the High Republic, which I feel like we should.
We are. We're going to.
I don't. We're going to. We'll talk about Loden Greatstorm later. And then you get to hear me openly weep during a podcast, and that's what everybody tunes in for.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm still powering through the High Republic, but it's hardly a power through. It's much more of a floating.
You're flowing pretty good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's that story group is doing so good. And it's so refreshing too, because like a lot of my usual franchise readings and viewings and things like that, I've been a little bit worn out on. And And then I'm also working my way through the Universal Century on Gundam.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a whole other podcast. We'll talk about that.
All later. These are whole other podcasts.
Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, so, yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Let us know what you think of Echo.
Yes, please let us know what you think of Echo. No, seriously, if you made it to the end of this, find some way to tell us in a public forum what you thought of Echo and what you liked about it.
Yeah.
Please. We love to talk to you guys. I'd love to hear, especially from those of you who are in other countries, or if you're using a VPN to listen to us, I'd love to hear that too, so I can know how many people are actually coming and listening to us in like Korea, Japan, and Germany, and how much are just, you know, some guy in Colorado.
Hey, Tommy, how's it going, buddy?
Who might be listening to us using a VPN. Who knows? Anyway, we love to hear from you guys. Cannot wait to tell you what's going on with the podcast in general in the next coming episodes. But after this, our next episode is our 50th episode, Brian.
Yeah.
50th episode.
Official 50. I mean, there's like 60 some on now.
We have 61, bonus, I think, ones. But like, no.
Look, official.
Our official 50th episode is our next episode after this. So thank you for listening to episode 49, and thank you for listening to everything up until then. Later.
Bye.